Welcome to episode 81 of the Jay Bunny's Music Hub podcast. I'm your host, Jay Bunny. Well, everybody, for this episode, we've got Reese Miller, a.k.a. Captain Wolfbeard O'Brady, from the band The Dread Crew of Oddwood. Reese has been a friend of mine for a few years now, since I got to know his band, The Dread Crew of Oddwood, and do merch for them at the New York Renaissance Fair back in 2015, 2016. And it's so great to get to talk to Reese. It's so great to get to see Oddwood doing things again, going on tour, releasing a new album. All of this is very exciting, and I'm so glad that we got to talk about all of this, in addition to all of the other musical projects that he is involved in. And I'm going to shut up and get right into it, because this is a great one. So without further ado, here's Reese.
What's up, everybody? It is Jay Bunny. I am here once again at home, once again on Skype. I am not drinking any beer from Ghost Hawk Brewery today because I need to work in like an hour and a half. So drinking before work is generally frowned upon. Those of you listening to this episode may also know me as the Merch Bun of Oddwood. And joining me today is Reese Miller, a.k.a. Wolfbeard O'Brady from the Dread Crew of Oddwood, amongst other bands. How's it going today, Reese?
It's fucking great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Like we were talking about right before we started recording, I'm looking very forward to seeing you at the end of the week after having not done so since 2016.
Damn, it has been so long. It's been too long since we toured in general. I've been playing some music at home, but I haven't been able to share that internationally or interstatally. And it feels great to be going back out on the road.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. So I first became aware of you when it was announced that the Dread Crew of Oddwood would be playing the New York Renaissance Fair for the first time in 2014. Can you tell me about your journey in music prior to forming Oddwood?
You know, Oddwood was one of the first projects I formed that like anybody paid any attention to. And we started that band when I was 19. So I did have some prior music experience, but that was the first sort of thing that kind of clued me in that, oh, maybe I could be doing this for a good chunk of my life. But to answer your question, myself and a couple of the other members of the Dread Crew of Oddwood, namely Drew Peters and Francis Roberts, we had been playing music together since we were 15 and 16, jamming in like, I think we started either in middle school. I think it was high school, actually. We had a band called Hellhound, and it was sort of like a grunge metal band, just a three piece that I originally played bass for. But as soon as they found out I could play the accordion, things kind of changed. Oddwood was so early in my life and my music career that there wasn't a lot before it, like just a couple of like cover bands and garage bands that I did literally as a teenager.
All right. Now, I've been burned by Wikipedia in the past, but according to the Dread Crew of Oddwood Wikipedia article, the band was formed by the only 8 people to show up to an Echo the Dolphin meetup at San Diego Comic-Con in 2008. So the first thing I want to ask
is EchoCon 08. EchoCon 2008. That was a time, man. You remember Echo the Tides of Time?
Oh, yeah.
Classic Sega Genesis game. Well, it led to some strange things. And that's the story we're going to stick with.
Okay. All right. So the first part is that was true. So how was this a catalyst to forming the Dread Crew of Oddwood?
Well, we were all a bunch of nerds. Half of us already played music together. And then when we got talking about it and everybody kind of mentioned that, you know, when you're that young, music's on your mind. That's all you're doing. And we got talking about that. And I mentioned I'd always wanted to start a pirate band. And one thing led to another, and the Dread Crew of Oddwood was spawned.
All right. And starting with the 2010 album Rocktopus, you began an extensive storyline of the Dread Crew in the booklet of the CDs that's continued through each album. What made you decide to put that together?
I'm just so glad that somebody's read them.
I actually sat down and read them all because I read the last two albums as I got them. And then I realized I never went back to the other two. So I sat down and read them all in sequence yesterday.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's cool. That's amazing. Did you say you got the new album as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. We almost didn't do it in the new album because we're like, does anybody bother to read these? That makes me really happy to hear that you read it. But yeah, that was just like, it sort of started as this big sort of, not a joke band, but like a very tongue-in-cheek sort of over-the-top character band. And we were like, well, if we're going to do this crazy character thing, like let's make a through line for this. Like, let's do a story. And one thing led to another, and Drew Peters, the original drummer for the Dread Crew of Oddwood, was actually the guy who really sort of committed to the story of Oddwood, and he made like an audio recording of it back in the day, and it was just so hilarious and entrancing. Like we all just dove headfirst. We were so enamored with the idea, and we just haven't been able to drop it yet. It's become sort of this side quest for us to keep building on this lore and trying to, like, you know, come up with an explanation when we lose a member or we gain a member. And it's this fun little thing that makes it feel extra sort of over the top and fantasy.
Okay. And that actually ties right into what I was going to ask next, which is, it seems like most, if not all, of the band member changes that have taken place are addressed in the storyline. Is there anything specific that influences the fate of a character in storyline when a member departs, or is it just whatever sounds good?
Well, we don't really have any bad blood with old members. Like, everybody's left amicably. So it does influence it a little bit. And, like, especially if, like, we'll always, like, kind of jeer, like a little elbow jab at a member when they go away. Because it's like, we love them and we're still friends, but fuck you for leaving. So, like, you know, like, well, there'll be, like, little inside jokes in the way that some of the members go out. Like, when we had when Eric Brown, who just got too busy with the rest of his tour schedule with his other right. bands and, you know, writing music for video games, when he left, like, we wrote in that he was enticed and seduced by a band of goblins right. that gave him, like, a full drum set because he hated playing our, like, stupid, like, weird slap together kit. So, you know, we referenced that, like, when he left. But for the most part, it's just like, it's good fun, and it'd be like, we think that they'd appreciate going out this way, you know?
I gotta say, one of my favorite things, even though it wasn't I don't think it was referenced this way in the story, but in the song Join the Ranks after Francis left. I heard that and I just could not stop laughing.
Oh, it's so funny. It was just an ad lib too. The original line was totally different, and I actually forgot the line, like, as I was recording it, and that's what came out, and we're like, well, fuck, we're keeping that. That's not leaving.
That's funny. And my kids love that too. They're a bit older now. They're 13 and 16. But we listen. I have a whole list actually of not just you guys, but like pirate music, pirate metal. We have a lot of parties here at my. I bought a house since I last saw you, and our Sweet. Like Renfair friend group will party here every couple months. And so I made this playlist that's a reference to an Ailstorm song. Pirate Party Time.
There it is.
And it's just all you guys, Ailstorm, Lagerstein, Rumahoy, you know, some other random stuff that's not necessarily like pirate music, but like the song is piratey. So we listen to that a lot.
Damn.
And they love it.
Yeah, man. Pirate metal, pirate music is a shockingly robust genre.
Yeah, I'm hoping I you know, the last time that you guys were on like a tour, not just doing like Ren Fairs and things of the like, that I saw you was the Pirate Fest with Ailstorm and Swashbuckle.
And I'd love to see that was ages ago.
Yeah, that was 2015, and I'd love to see like another, even if not that exact, because there are so many pirate bands, like some other version of Pirate Fest. That'd be awesome.
I'm certain there will be a you know, we're going to be booked with like bands. I mean, like, even this upcoming tour with Tyr and Trollfest and Aether Realm, the title of the tour is Battle Ballads, which is the new Tyr release that's
right.
coming out soon. But I was just like, man, Battle Ballads is such a perfect name for a tour. And I'm like stoked that that's the one that we come back on, you know, fucking just the word Battle Ballads is sick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So until the release of the most recent Dread Crew album, Rust and Glory, the band had been relatively inactive. Obviously, COVID played a role, but even prior to that, the last time I saw you at Renfair was 16. Last time I saw you at a non-Renfair venue, as we just mentioned, was 2015. The last album release was also 2016. Can you tell me about what led to sort of the slowdown of the Oddwood activity?
Well, we felt like we were kind of we were gaining a little bit of momentum. We started writing this album back in 2019. Maybe even some of it probably even before. We had been busy doing some international tours. We had just done Wacken Winter Nights.
I did see that,
headlining tour in the Netherlands and Germany. And then we had done a tour with Ailstorm in the UK. That was really fun. Pirate Fest UK, I believe that was 2018. And we'd booked like three or four European tours, and we had been planning on doing like a big sort of local, a couple big local shows, like in like Northern and Southern California. And as we'd actually had those shows booked, we were starting to do our promotion. We were recording demos for the new album, and then COVID hit and everything kind of disappeared. Our drummer, who we had just really started gigging with regularly, Pete, Pistols Pete, he ended up having to move back home to North Carolina. So that made things a little bit more difficult to like get together and work on things. Stark, our Zouk and whistle player, he was pregnant with a baby boy. So that obviously slows things down a little bit. And we just weren't sure if it was going to come back. Like everything, it just felt like all of the momentum we had gathered, it just kind of fell out from under us. And then after COVID, our longtime bass player was just like not really feeling the energy anymore. So we took a lot of hits for morale, and we weren't sure. Honestly, we weren't sure if the band was going to stick around. But back in like 2022, we got serious about it again, and I'm just so grateful that we still have something to show the world, because it's been awesome. And like, we really have been working on this album for like almost half of a decade.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm gonna jump ahead, because you kind of mentioned that. I'll get back to these other questions, but you made a lengthy Facebook post recently about the release of the new Oddwood album, and how at one point you thought that this might be the final release for the band, but you've now decided you're not done being a pirate. For those that haven't read the post, I mean, you kind of already talked about it, but can you elaborate on why you thought the band might be ending and why you've now decided that it is not?
Well, for the reasons that I just explained, there was a lot of, we'd lost our momentum. We felt like we were going somewhere. We had gotten some attention from some labels. We had made some serious commitments to ourselves about making Oddwood as full-time as we could. And then the rug got pulled out from under us, and, everybody's work situations and living situations changed. And we weren't sure if we could keep up with it, especially now being like a band that was on, literally torn across the country.
Yeah.
And part of that post on the more personal side was, it was like, I have dedicated a huge amount of my life to this project. Like, started it when I was 19, and like, it's been amazing, and it's taken me places I never thought I would see, and given me some of my closest friends. But when it was suddenly kind of forcibly taken away from me, I was like, oh wow, I got time for a lot of other things in my life now.
right.
Like, I was able to like kind of take my career seriously for the first time, like really seriously. And, I started doing other types of creative work. Like, I started a couple other music projects. I played genres of music that I just had never done before. And I really enjoyed it. And I was like, well, maybe Oddwood was like a part of my development that was like really important, and it shaped who I was. But maybe, I shouldn't like force this to keep going. But this whole time we had some songs on the back burner, and we had been talking about recording an album. Like, talk about finishing the work that we had done had never gone away. So we took that pretty seriously in 2022. We started booking things. We decided to like figure out, find a producer for the album, which was something that we hadn't had in previous projects. And we ended up going with Anna Murphy of Cellar Darling, a former Elwady. And she was just a dream to work with. And so basically, as soon as we got into the studio and we started consolidating all this work that we had been doing over the years, we sat back down together and we started creating something, and like really listening and feeling what we were creating. It was just like, man, I can't let this go. It was just so like, being in the studio with Oddwood, I have such a sense of purpose. I really feel like I can, like, it's my most effective creative outlet is when I'm completely dedicated to creating this music and being these characters and creating a sort of tapestry of sound that we do. And it was so fun, because we just did everything. Like, we had dove in there with like so many layers of like flutes and harpsichord and piano and toy piano and like all the instruments we had before, and then more. Like, Andrew brought in banjo, and like, we were just really sitting like, what could make this lush and full, and what could most effectively create this world of sound that we were all collaborating on together. And feeling that again with everybody was just like, it totally made me realize that I was not done with this.
Fair enough. So during the Dread Crew's dormant period, you were working on other projects. One of them was Celtic Metal Dude. Yeah. Saw you posting mostly cover songs to social media, YouTube, etc. What made you decide that you wanted to do that?
Well, I've been wanting to do it for a long time. Like ever since Oddwood did a couple like folk metal covers, like way back in the day, like 2014 or something. And we just did like a Teresa's cover and a Korpiklaani cover. And those were really fun. And I was like, man, I wish I could just do this for any song that I wanted to. And it took me a long time to get into, like when I write music, now I can generally write things like in like music writing software, like Logic or Sibelius or whatever your sort of MIDI interface works. But back in the day, I couldn't do that. I just, the interface of a computer was not okay. Like it just was like this block for me. So what I did to write Oddwood songs, I just learned everyone's instruments and then recorded the parts that I wanted them to play. And because I had that skill set where I pretty much already knew how to perform on like a wide variety of instruments, I was like, well, I've always wanted to do a cover project of my own. And since we had a lot more time during pandemic, I just started this cover band project. And I, you know, took some songs that I knew that I probably couldn't get the rest of my band to do. And I was like, well, this is kind of like a style that I'm super proficient in, so I'm going to explore it. And it was great. I do a mix of like metal covers. I plan on doing like pop culture covers. And then I'll also throw in some like traditional tunes that like really hit hard for me every once in a while as well. And it was awesome because I got like a super cool job out of it. I ended up as Celtic Metal Dude. I performed a bunch of music on an independent game called Sea of Stars.
I was going to ask you about that next. Studios.
And that was directly because I was acquainted with one of the head producers, the head producer at Sabotage, and he saw me doing this. He's like, we have a use for this. And so I got to like use those exact skills that I had been practicing with Celtic Metal Dude for a job and creating like something that's like truly unique in a game. And that was a hugely fulfilling project.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, I had always thought that the connection there was because Eric makes music for them as well. And he had formerly been in Oddwood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that didn't have nothing to do with it. That was a big part of it. But it was actually Thierry's idea. The CEO of Sabotage, like he saw what I was doing and he's like, well, why don't we incorporate this into the game? Like they had already written pirate characters into the game completely independent of us, of me. And they were like, well, this would be a really cool thing. And yeah, it was great. It was like, I got to cover like 40 songs. and it was super cool. Cause now like a bunch of people can enjoy that in a way that they wouldn't probably have seen otherwise.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to say I still have not gotten the game, but I have been I've been listening to the music on Spotify on occasion.
Nice. I mean, it's on Game Pass. It's free if you have a PlayStation or Xbox, whatever. It's free on whatever the like group bundle. I'm so out of it when it comes.
Yeah, I've got the cheaper version of Game Pass that doesn't quite have all of the like. It's like here you get these 12 games or whatever.
Got it.
Because the other one costs like. Because we used to have games with gold and they're like, okay, that, you know, in games with gold, you'd get like four or five free games every month. And yeah, that went on forever. And then they were like, all right, that's going away. And you're just going to get a slimmed down version of the Game Pass. It was like, all right, cool. I don't play video games that much because much like you were saying before about just being an adult and having adult responsibilities. Like I don't have a lot of time to play video games lately.
Yeah, and especially now that like games are just designed to be like extremely dense investments of time.
Yeah.
Like the only time I play video games now is if I feel like I have to for, you know, market research or if I'm sitting in a tour bus, I'll play my Switch.
There you go. So as I was writing the questions for this, I was listening to some of the Celtic Metal Dude stuff, specifically the cover of Swedish Pagans was the first one that I listened to.
Oh, sick. Yeah, that's a new one. That's fun.
Yeah, because I don't think I'd seen or heard that one before. And, you know, what I took away, and you've sort of already alluded to it, but what I took away from watching these videos of you doing these songs is that, you know, it really showcases your versatility as a musician, all the different instruments that you're playing on each song. Are there any other projects that you've been involved with other than the Celtic Metal Dude stuff that allows you to showcase this versatility?
Yeah, I started a band with my fiance. It's called Eclectotron, and it's sort of like... it's sort of like city pop meets synthwave, which is just a huge departure from anything I've ever done. And it's been really gratifying to like play music that's just totally different. it's just, it could not be further from what I'd done in the past. And I play guitar and keytar in it. And that has been really, we're still kind of figuring out the sound, but like we've been playing shows around Southern California, and you know, we've got a festival booked at the end of the month, and yeah, that band's not going to slow down anytime soon. So that has been really fun too. I started that 2022 was when we released our first music.
And I know that you guys had worked together on one of the Celtic Metal Dude songs. I believe she'd sang on the Battle Beast cover.
Yes.
Is that what sort of led to doing a band together, or was that something you guys had talked about anyway?
Well, like, I don't know. It's always a bad idea to involve your partner with music, but like, damn it all, it's just too fun. It was so gratifying doing the Battle Beast cover. Also just because she's like uniquely suited to singing like Nora from Battle Beast.
Yeah.
She loves that over the top sort of high vibrato, high. I Broadway is too strong a word, but there's like a showmanship to it that she excelled at. And so she did that one, and that was super fun. She did. We did one other one too, and I can't remember what it was. I have to go look. But no, honestly, ever since like we've started doing music together, she does vocals. She did vocals on the new Oddwood album as well. Like she,
yeah, I did see that
in virtually every song.
Yeah, I saw that in the credits and I believe you mentioned it on your Facebook post as well.
Yeah, I mean for the listeners, Madison Lowry is my partner. Like you can find her online. She doesn't have her own projects going right now, but she's contributed vocals to like a few other artists. And keep an eye out for that name because she's really kind of finding her voice literally and figuratively.
All right. Well, I keep an eye on everything related to you, so I'll keep an eye on that for sure. Going back to your Facebook post, you had mentioned some of the other projects that you're involved with that I wasn't familiar with. The two that I didn't know were Merzik and Like Totally For Sure. Can you tell me about those?
I mean, Like Totally For Sure is just an 80s cover band that I've played guitar in for off and on for like 5-6 years. And it's great. We just kind of play gigs around L.A., Orange County, occasionally San Diego, and it's a cover band. It's just something that it's fun to play like 80s music, and it's nice to get paid for it.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of a gig. And then Merzik are one of the members of Merzik actually was an original member of the Dread Crew Vaudwood. His name's Anthony Montemurano. Merzik has been around. Merzik predates Oddwood. It's like this band that like our San Diego group of friends have, like everybody's been in Merzik for at least 15 minutes. And the sound has evolved over the years. It kind of started as sort of like a mix between like Muse-esque rock and like spooky core, like 2000 spooky core. But the band's still kicking around. They just released a new album. Go check out Merzik if you're a fan of like djent or sort of metal adjacent stuff. It doesn't quite fit into a genre, but it's very reminiscent of modern metal.
Okay. So that kind of answers the next question I had, because you said that one of the members was formerly in Oddwood. I noticed when I was reading through all of the Oddwood stories and the booklets that there was a variation of the word Merzik in the Roctopus story. Yeah. And so I was going to ask if there was any relation to that band and Oddwood, but you answered
it. There it is. Answered the question. Wow, you're sleuthing. You're figuring out all of the you're pulling at those threads.
Well, another one that I wanted to ask about, and spending a lot of time around you guys, both as a fan and as your merch guy for a time, I noticed you guys always just sort of throwing out the word Dagoberto, and it makes it into the lyrics of one of the songs on the new Oddwood album as well. Can you explain what that is or what that means?
Dagoberto is just the title that you acquire if you spend enough time around us. It's just a term that it's something that came from like high school days. It was literally just there's actually a dude named Dagoberto who his name was just so fun to say. Like it's definitely one of those things that you had to be there, but it has become synonymous with like being close with somebody in the Dread Crew. Like you hang out with the Dread Crew long enough, you're going to be called Dagoberto eventually, or Dagoberta if you prefer the femme version of the name.
Fair enough. So we talked about a bit earlier about the different lineup changes in Oddwood. You guys started as an 8-piece band. You had 7 when I first met you, but now you're down to 4. And you'd mentioned a lot of the instrumentation and whatnot that is on the recordings. How does this reduction in band members affect the sound in a live setting?
Well, live, we will not do shows with less than 5. So we do have a bass player for the run of the tour. And we've made 5 work for a while. Personally, my favorite number would be 6. because I'd like to be able to represent what we do in the album a little bit better. We'll never be able to do exactly what we do in the albums because it's so full. And also, like, we insist on playing truly acoustic instruments, and carrying around a harpsichord isn't fun. So that's going to be, before we have the resources to do that, it'll probably be a little bit of time. But I think we do a pretty good job of representing the music with five. It gives us accordion, mandolin, or octave mandolin, bouzouki, tin whistle, and bass. And then the bouzouki and the tin whistle switch out depending on which Eric is playing. And then obviously a full percussion kit. I do think that, like, creating all of the music acoustically live without any backing tracks is a really big part of what makes Oddwood Oddwood. And even though you're missing out a little bit on the sonic details of, like, you know, a flute harmony or, you know, three sets of strum strings instead of one, the energy is still there. And if you want to find out for yourself, you should go to a show on the Battle Ballads tour in March and April.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the next question is something that I ask anybody that's ever been on the show, which is, how do you feel about the current state of where the music industry is, where fans really don't, I mean, I still do, and there are people that still do, but for the most part, it seems like people don't really want to buy music. They'd rather subscribe to Spotify or some other such service. You know, illegal downloading is still a thing, although maybe not so much as it used to be, but everybody seems to have this idea, well, bands make all their money at shows anyway, so I don't have to pay for the music.
Man, we missed the bus on one that was good to be in the music industry. Like, there's no point in my life where I was over the age of 18 where, oh yeah, things were banging in the music industry, you know? Like, it's not ideal, and, like, you know, we're never going to, like, experience the glory days of, like, you know, 70s and 80s touring acts. But, like, music has become more accessible to everyone. And while there are a lot of downsides to the modern streaming model, one of the things that I like about it is it's like I have found bands and projects that I am completely in love with that I would never have found if it weren't for the ease of sharing and the ease of getting your music produced and up on a platform that's available for anyone to listen to virtually for free. And, you know, that's, YouTube is still, I think, the most used service for listening to music, even after, like, the popularity of Apple Music and Spotify. And there, I think there's something beautiful about that. Like, it's harder to make a good living at music than it ever has, but it's easier to get your music listened to by millions of people, as many people as you can, you know, get the word out to. It's easier in that way than it's ever been. And I think that's kind of cool. Like, as a musician, it doesn't make sense to, like, sit and lament how shitty or hard things are. You just kind of roll with the times and you do what you can with the tools that are presented to you in the moment. And yeah, it's difficult, but we make a little bit of money from streaming. Honestly, it's the reason that we can afford to go on tours, just because we've been sitting and collecting royalties for, like, 5 years. That money went directly into making an album. Like, we didn't do a fundraising campaign. We didn't do a, what do you call it? A crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to be like, hey, we have people that are listening to our music. We have fans that are supporting in their own way. Like, people still, like, we've had a steady, slow trickle of merch sales ever since, you know, the pandemic started. And I think
every Christmas you got some from me.
There you go. and yeah, like, we just wanted to say thank you and be like, well, here's, like, a new album, like, produced to a level that we've never produced before. And, you know, we're not pocketing the money from this project. We're putting it right back into making more music and sharing that music with people. Like, touring, oh my God, touring has gotten so much more expensive. This is by a huge margin the most expensive tour we will have ever gone on. And hopefully it pays off, because, you know, if it allows us to go back on the road and make more music and get back in the studio, that's what it's all about. And nobody's making pirate metal get rich off of it.
It's funny, I just noticed that this whole time my camera's been off, but I'm actually wearing my Dread Crew of Oddwood I Support Lawful Evil shirt from the Lawful Evil Kickstarter.
Sick! The skull and tentacle! Love that shirt. Classic.
Which I wanted to ask, I'm sure it's been mentioned, it's been acknowledged by you guys online, but what's the deal with the last few Dread Crew albums where the title of the previous album is a song on the next one?
Oh, is that what happened? That's weird. Man, it's almost kind of rude of us to do that, because it's going to confuse everybody and have them to buy the wrong album. I don't know what you're talking about, man. That must be a weird coincidence.
Gotcha. So we've been talking a lot about the new album, Rust and Glory, which is released on March 15th. You're about to hit the road in support of the album, opening for Tyr, Trollfest, and Aether Realm, as we've mentioned. I've also mentioned that I'm really, really excited to be able to see you again and go to this tour, see you guys in New York on Friday. And not to look past the tour, but after that tour has been completed, do you guys have plans that are after that?
Well, we actually already have some recordings done. When we recorded the last album, we recorded a little bit more. So expect, if not a whole new album in the relatively near future, an EP, once we kind of, you know, hit the road with this. Ideally, we'd like to do some headlining shows, if not a small headlining tour in support of the new album. But, you know, it all kind of just depends on the opportunities that we find ourselves in. We do want to, like, kind of do this tour and see what changes, if anything, after getting back out there and showing, you know, touring companies and labels that we, hey, we're still active, we're still doing stuff. Here's this music video. Here's this tour that we just did. We just did these, you know, this big run of 20 or 30 shows. And, you know, ideally we start doing this a lot more, but we're still at the phase now that we have to kind of prove ourselves to industry types that, you know, there's still a market for us and we still have a group of people that are interested in our music. So no matter what, you're going to see some more music. No matter what, you're going to see some more shows, hopefully more tours. And that's all I can promise right now.
All right. Well, like I said, you're going to see me on Friday. I was speaking to one of the hashtag Boar Babes over the weekend. They may be coming as well. And so normally that question is the last one. What's next? But there's one more question that has been burning in the hearts and minds of Dread Crew fans in this area since 2016. Will you be making a return to the New York Renaissance Fair at some point?
You know, I would like to say that we are going to go back to Ren Fairs at some point, but It's tough for us just because the act that we do at Ren Fair is a little bit different from the act that we'd like to do in general. And you know, Ren Fair schedules are pretty brutal, like doing four shows a day, like walking around in between stages, especially now that we don't have the time that we used to. If we end up doing Ren Fairs, it'll be more of like we do a single big show like once a day, or maybe like a weekend here and there. Currently, we don't have anything lined up for Ren Fairs. It's also like it's a totally different set of gear, and it just takes a different sort of gumption. So I'm not saying that we won't be doing Ren Fairs, but we don't have anything booked right now. I don't believe we're going to be doing the Ren Fair circuit this summer again.
Okay, fair enough. I had to ask because everybody, you know, I've actually, and I think I told Eric this at one point, having been your merch guy briefly at New York Ren Fair for like two runs there, I made friends over that. Like, people were like, hey, you're that guy that did the merch for the Dread Crew of Oddwood, right? Like, are they coming back? Like, so there are people that are like in my Ren Fair friend group in our pirate ship that like met me, know me because of that. And
that's
so
cool.
Yeah. And so
no, it's a very, like, I have complicated feelings about it because, like, we are born of Ren Fair. Like, Ren Fair gave us the skills and the style of music in many respects, and the way that I sing is largely so that I could be heard and loud enough in a Ren Fair setting. And so it does seem, as much as we're like, well, we want to do more of like an amplified sort of stage show at this point, as much as we want to do that, like, we cannot deny that Ren Fair is part of what we are.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact we're not done with it. The way that we do it is just going to have to change. And we also don't have as much time as we used to. Like, when we were younger, right. Like, you know, nobody had like wives and mortgages and shit. Things have changed a little bit in our personal lives, and figuring out a balance where we can go and pay homage to our roots and do the Ren Fair thing, like, it's something that I think about a lot. But we're just going to have to see how that pans out, because right now we're not going to be hitting the Ren Fair circuit this summer, but I do miss it a lot. And I would love to go back and see my friends at like Southern Fair, Bristol, at New York Fair. You know, it's a big part of what we are, and it's just a goddamn good time, man.
Well, it's funny too, is, you know, I was on a friend's podcast, and he had asked me about, I've been going to fair for 20 years at this point, over 20 years, you know, and what first got me into going to Ren Fair personally, and they don't really do this in New York anymore, but personally, what got me into going into fair was like the more risque sort of adult entertainment that they've started to shy away from. And
interesting.
And as that has gone away, as that was going away, was around the same time that I found you guys. and that you guys started coming to the New York Ren Faire. And so I never lost my love for the Ren Faire, but you guys had kind of given me like a new thing to love about the Ren Faire.
That's awesome. Yeah, there. I guess the burlesque side of things is not what it used to be. But yeah, no, I love the music and the shows that you can find at Ren Faire, and I always go like as a patron.
Yeah.
Even when we have nothing to do with performing there. I actually got in trouble. I brought my accordion to the Southern Fair last year, and they didn't like that very much.
Right.
because I wasn't hired to perform there. But
right. You're doing the Ritchie Blackmore thing.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's just there's no place quite like it. I don't want to get there is a lot of politics involved with Ren Faire right now too, and I don't want to get too involved with that.
Right.
But yeah, I miss the fairgrounds in New York. Those were good times, man.
Yeah. And I, that's the only time that I really ever, and not again, my camera's off, but worked there. It was when I worked for you guys as, you know, and I felt that was a good balance because there was the first year that I was going there, there was a girl that I was into and she's like, hey, how about you help us out in the booth? And I hated being stuck in that booth, and, you know, whereas with you guys, it was like, all right, I've got to just be three places and the rest of the day is mine to do what I want to do.
Yeah. I find having like a thing like that kind of centers me because it gives value to the rest of your time that's not doing that task. And it also makes that you feel gives you a sense of purpose. Like I like having a job. Like whenever I go to a festival, I like having if I'm not performing there, I'll like do some camera work or I will help my friend run a booth or I don't know. I enjoy that. For me, like becoming part of the culture beyond just being a patron is super gratifying. So I'm glad that we could give you that experience in a way that doesn't get you stuck in a booth all day.
Yeah, man, I would say that some of my favorite times and some of my favorite pictures, like there's a picture that a friend of mine took and tagged me in of you guys were playing at the Blue Boar, which I don't know if you saw or heard because you guys haven't been there in a while. That Blue Boar got knocked down.
No, I did not know about that. That's so sad.
Yeah, they knocked that down because they said that the ground wasn't stable or something. So they knocked down that whole area and they just have it roped off. It's like nothing now. And they have another pub that they're calling the Blue Boar, which is just one of those like beer trailers that they would bring to like a county fair. And then they built a structure around it. But it's not what it was over there. But like I had a picture of me standing next to the table, holding up CDs, like throwing up the metal horns in my full pirate garb. And then actually Kelly Rose and I were talking about that time that you guys played at the New York Ren Faire at the Blue Boar and it was raining. So they let you guys play behind the bar. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That was fun. Rain shows were, it's super scary, especially when your instrument's made out of cardboard, but like rain shows are, there's something magical about them. They're really fun. Some of my favorite memories are like rain shows at New York and Southern, just because it's like the people will still gather to like experience a show even in this miserable like weather condition, and there's just something heartwarming about that. That show was really fun when we played behind the Blue Boar.
Yeah, that was great. That was one of my favorite things probably. But that's all I've got for you. We could probably just sit here and at this point reminisce about Faire for another hour before I got to work. But that's all I've got for you as far as questions. I know that you've got to get ready to leave for the tour. You said
I literally leave tonight. I have about 8 hours before I get on a plane.
Yeah, first show is in Baltimore. Yeah,
that's correct. Baltimore on Thursday.
All right. Well, I will see you Friday.
Thank you, Jay Bunny. This has been fun.
No worries, man. Thank you so much. And like I said, I'll see you Friday.
Sounds good, man. See you in New York.
I bring tragic news of the deckhand.
How did he die?
He fell from the mast. Belaying pin to the spine as he fell, and his head hit the deck with a splash. The cabin boy soiled his bunk now.
How did he
clutching
die?
A wound in his gut. He was courting some whore that he met on the shore, till her father he had them both shot.
Sing out your hearts to lost comrades in arms. They'll grace the mess table no more. But each casualty means more gold left for me. So let's drink to more bloodshed and gore. We'll drink like we'll never reach shore.
Hark, the carpenter's finished.
How did he
a knife out of fell on his head. He was mending the hole when it bashed in his skull, and he sank.
the mess table no more. But each casualty means more gold left for me. So let's drink to more bloodshed and gore. We'll each have another drink more. We'll drink like we'll never reach shore.
And from the album Rust and Glory, that was the Dread Crew of Oddwood with Lost Comrades. I want to thank Reese for being on the show. I'm so happy to have gotten to talk to him and to go and see the band on Friday in New York City at the Gramercy Theater. If you're in the New York, New Jersey area, you should go. If you're in a different area and you're in the U.S., you should go. The tour starts Thursday in Maryland. Reese has been someone I've wanted to have on the show for as long as I've had the show, and I've been reaching out to him over the years, and we've never been able to make it work until now, and I'm so happy that we were able to do it. Like I said in the interview, I was their merch guy for a period of time at the New York Ren Faire, and they're a great bunch of dudes to hang out with. They're one of my favorite bands ever. And I just can't say enough about how awesome those guys are. If you want to follow any of the projects that we mentioned on social media, you can find the Dread Crew of Oddwood, Merzik, Like Totally for sure, Eclectotron, Celtic Metal Dude. All of those projects have pages on social media. You just have to search for the names and you will find them. And they are awesome, and you should do that. Don't forget to follow J Bunny's Music Hub on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Still have a TikTok I'm not doing anything with. Maybe I'll figure that out if I've got time. Still have a Patreon that I'm not really doing anything with. You should subscribe to that if you like what we're doing here. And don't forget, guys, if you believe in supporting music the way that I do by buying it, make sure to follow the Industry Embers on Facebook and Twitter. Fuck it, it's not X, it's Twitter. It's always going to be Twitter. Fuck that shit. And make sure to tweet or post your music purchases with the hashtag buymusic, B-U-Y, or it's buymusic, B-Y-E. As for what is next for the show, I have 3 episodes that were supposed to be recorded like a week or two back that all got canceled, or all got postponed. Big part of why I never come out and say who scheduled their interviews are with until they're done is because shit like that happens. So I'm hoping to be able to make up those 3 interviews that were postponed, and if so, those should be coming out at some point. They're not done yet, they're not rescheduled yet, so we'll see. Maybe they will fall to the wayside like other ones I've had canceled in the past and never been able to reschedule, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to try to make those happen. I'm going to send out other emails. I've always got emails coming into me from publicists, so keep an eye out. What else? I'm sure you've seen on the J Bunny's Music Hub Facebook page that I have gotten a bit into booking concerts. Something that I sort of fell into. Right now I am booking shows for Mark Rizzo and his acoustic cover band, Acoustic Vendetta. So once again, if you are in the New York, New Jersey area, Northern New Jersey, Orange County, New York, Acoustic Vendetta is going to be playing at the Aspire Brewery in Middletown, New York, right by the Galleria Mall, on April the 6th. The show is from 7 to 10. So if you're in the area, I hope to see you come out. Check out Acoustic Vendetta and enjoy some of the food and drinks that the Aspire Brewery has. I've never been there before, so I'm really interested to check out their beers and check out their food. That's one of the great things about New York breweries is they are allowed to serve food, whereas in New Jersey, they are not. And every time I've been to a New York brewery, they have had some of the best food I've ever had, so I'm really looking forward to checking that out and hope to see you guys there. I think that's all that I've got for you guys today. I'm going to leave you today with another song by the Dread Crew of Oddwood. This is not from their new album, Rust and Glory. Reese said I should pick the second song, and so I'm going to pick what is probably my favorite Dread Crew of Oddwood song ever. From the album Lawful Evil, this is Heavy Mahogany, which ties into the thing about the song from the last album being the song in the next album, because Heavy Mahogany was their album. Anyway, Heavy Mahogany is one of my favorite Dread Crew songs, and I'm going to leave you guys with that today. Until next time, guys.